Hello, I am Dustin Goes to Hollywood.
I'm Mally Moore.
And this is the Silver Linings Playlist, a podcast that tries to find the silver lining in some of cinema's most bleak endings.
And nailed happy horror movie season, everyone.
Yes, it is. This is our first episode of October. It is a spoopy month.
Spoopy?
Yeah, spoopy. You never heard that?
The fuck is spoopy?
Oh, we're going to have a long talk after this is over. Okay. We need a name for this month. We didn't come up with one. The five spoopy movies of Spooktacular.
Are we doing five? How many weeks?
There's five episodes this week. We have five horror movies.
Wait, lined five up. Episodes this week?
Well, sorry. I'm sorry. Five episodes.
I got time for
month.
That.
That's a lot of episodes. Five episodes this month. So,
okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Well, whatever. It's Halloween time. It's October. We're ready for these horror movies. Every episode this week, well, this month, sorry.
Stop saying that.
I'm used to doing three episodes a week when I did a podcast. Every episode this month, we will have a new horror-themed movie that has that classic Silver Linings tagline. It's a movie that's got a fucked up ending or a sad ending, and not just a typical horror movie ending. These endings are especially dour.
They're in line with the rest of the movies we've done.
And maybe we'll do a better job than how we normally do.
Well, let's not get their hopes up.
No, not for this episode. This one's kind of difficult.
Yeah. I will say, in regards to this horror movie month, I have had so many people
recommend movies.
Ask what we're doing for Halloween.
Oh, well, that's the big
one.
I have
had so many people try to guess,
No one's got it. That's good.
I mean, it's a curveball, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah.
When you pitched it, I was confused.
I think we have, I don't want to say obvious ones for this month, but I think we have ones that people are going to instantly recognize. This is probably going to be our most popular episodes for sure. But the actual physical October 31st episode is, yeah, if anybody guesses it, I will be amazed. I'll be very surprised. But to kick things off, our first episode this October, this spooky Halloween time of year, our first episode, as you can tell by the title, is 2009's Drag Me to Hell, directed by Sam Raimi.
Oh, yeah. Man, 2009, really?
2009. This is, it feels like it should be older, but 2009 doesn't seem that long
ago. I feel like it should be newer.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't feel that long ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it definitely was.
Starring Allison Lohman, Justin Long, Loma Raver, and Dilip Rao. I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Oh, I have no idea.
Is
that the dude from Inception?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. This movie had a budget of $30 million, and worldwide had the gross of $91 million. It's pretty great. Three times your payback, wow, man. This is maybe a milestone for this show. This movie has a 92% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Certified fresh. Is that the highest? 92%?
That we've done?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, it is.
What was... Blue Valentine was up there. I don't know if it was...
I want to say it was 89, I think.
Whatever.
Uno momento on that one.
It's definitely up there. It's got to be top two, because movies we tend to do apparently don't sit well with others, which is, I think we do pretty good movies for the most part.
Blue Valentine was an 88.
So this is probably the highest. I can't think of any other one that we've done. So maybe Requiem, but I doubt it. Just because of the theme of the movie. Anyways, Drag Me to Hell, 2009. This movie is just classic. It's got Raimi stank all over it. It's totally reminiscent of the Evil Dead series, Spider-Man 2 series. Spider-Man 2 is totally in there. Do you have anything you want to talk about before we actually review the trailer for this
movie?
Man,
I accidentally closed out of my notes and now I'm all confused.
Well, let's listen to the trailer. And while we do that, you can try and find your notes again, all right?
Excellent.
Mr. Jax, I was wondering if you'd made any decision regarding the assistant manager's position.
It's between Stu and yourself.
Stu Rubin, the new guy?
Stu's someone who's not afraid to make the tough decisions.
I'm perfectly capable of making the tough decisions.
I'll let you know as soon as I decide, okay?
Will you help me? Please.
Okay. We have an elderly woman asking for an extension on her mortgage payment. We would have to throw her out of her house.
We've already granted her two extensions. It's a tough decision. Your call.
another extension is out of the question.
Where will I live?
I'm really sorry.
Never have I begged for anything, but now I humble myself
Mrs.
before
Gennish,
you.
Please.
I beg you.
Please let go. Please let go. Security!
You shame. Soon it will be you who comes begging to me.
Someone has cursed you. He's the Lamia, the most feared of all demons. For the first 3 days, the spirit torments its victims. After that, it will come to take you.
Take me where?
To burn in hell for eternity.
It's coming for me.
Please listen to me. There is nothing coming for you.
How do I get rid of this?
I welcome.
You can give the curse away.
No!
So how do you feel about this trailer, Melly?
This trailer fucking rules.
Okay. I will say this trailer's fine. It's nothing like crazy awesome to me. I mean, I think you're saying it rules just because you love the movie. But
nah,
dude,
it's a white. This trailer is a white knuckle thrill ride.
I just feel it hits its beats. It's typical.
Oh, I mean, it's not really like, special in any
That's
way.
That's what
but
I mean.
It's
like, it's
badass
for how great the movie is. I don't think the trailer is all that. I don't know.
Well, I mean,
it's a good trailer. Don't get me wrong.
You don't want the trailer to be better than the movie.
Some movies do that, though.
I know.
So,
this is not one of them. This trailer rules, and the movie's better.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, do you want to start talking about that?
Let's get funky.
All right, so my first note is that this is a bitch slap happy movie.
Yes, it is.
I did not remember literally how many times people get bitch slapped in this movie until rewatching
like
it.
Like every 10 minutes.
A lot. Mostly ghost demon bitch slaps. So it's just the character reacting to being slapped by nothing. So yeah, we start this movie off. Apparently it's a flashback. We have this, I'm assuming, Mexican family. They're going to this medium saying, you know, our son is, you know, acting crazy. He's seeing things. He's claiming he's seeing all this horrific shit. And I guess they're trying to do like an exorcism on him, but not really. Maybe like a seance.
It's something along those lines.
Yeah. It's,
I don't know.
He's definitely like coherent. He's not like possessed by a demon or anything. But anyways.
Wait, I think he is possessed by a demon, isn't he?
I think he becomes possessed at some point.
Because I think
maybe
the demon that, I mean, obviously, if you haven't seen the movie, what are you doing here? Yeah.
This is where,
because it's the demon that's chasing her the whole movie is doing the same thing to this kid years
before.
This
is where we get the first bitch slap already. We're like 3 minutes in.
Boom.
And yeah, just bitch slap across the face. This little kid basically falls off this like second story balcony inside his home.
He's fine, by the way.
Yeah, he lands.
He
totally
goes
fine.
Just flying over this railing.
He's probably what,
lands
nine?
Face first. Well, that's true. 9-year-olds are indestructible.
Mm-hmm.
My past can confirm that.
That
I should have died like 8 times.
That's the age of indestructibility. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, he lands totally fine, probably face down on this hard floor at the very bottom. His parents watch on from the top balcony in horror as the floor starts to crack. And we see...
Well, hang on. The dad does yell, hey, wait, I'm coming down there.
That's true. To let you know, the exposition is just crazy. But yeah, so this kid's just sitting there. All of a sudden, the floor starts to crack, and you hear the roar and the fires of hell. As the floor literally starts to break apart, and we see like demon hands reach for him and pull him down. This kid's screaming in terror. It's pretty cool because we see like the giant shadows on the wall of everything happening, and the mother screaming and crying. And then we cut back, and we just see a hand being pulled down under the ground as the ground reforms as if nothing ever happened.
Dude, hell is crazy.
So let me get this straight. This is my first discussion, I guess. So this movie posits the idea that not only is hell is a literal real place, but it can also traverse space and, I guess, time. Because what this movie is positing is that this ground breaks apart and hell is underneath. and then it reforms, and I'm assuming when they go back over there and dig about that hole, they're just gonna get dirt and crap. So that's mine. I've never thought that to be a thing. Like, I thought,
okay, I mean, that makes more sense than hell just being like underground somewhere, doesn't it?
Well, that, no, that's the point I'm trying to say, is that I think this movie is positing the idea that hell is a real place, but it's never in one place. You can't just get to it. It kind of appears when it needs to, which I think is a really cool idea. I never would have thought of that or heard of that concept until this movie. Like, people always either say hell is a place you go to, like it's not a physical plane you can get to, or it is just deep below the earth. And this movie kind of takes both ideas.
This gets deep. It's like, it's a physical place, but it's ever moving. It's like the island from Lost.
Ooh, I was just going to say. It's great, great analogy. And people are always trying to escape and then go back. And then Jeremy Davies shows up in season four. Yeah.
Is he in this movie?
Yeah, that would have been great. I love him, dude.
I would have backed that.
Okay, so we go to present day, and we're introduced to our lead character, Christine Brown, who is this bank loaner at this bank.
Did you say spank?
No, at this bank.
Bank.
At this bank.
Okay.
I can see where you'd be confused, but yeah, at this bank.
I've been awake for like 36 hours.
Same here. but she's listening. She's in traffic. She's listening to these self-help tapes, which I actually think is adorable.
Yeah.
She arrives at work, and this character has this, I don't know if it's Alison Lohman herself, but this character has a very specific look, and by specific look, I mean she looks dead-faced all the time, like she's completely clueless. She just has this, like,
I agree,
mouth-breathing, wide-eyed kind of look about her the whole movie. I don't know if that's a Sam Raimi direction.
Literally everything she looks at, it's like the first time she's ever seen it.
Like, she sees her boyfriend, and it's like the first time she's ever seen it. She's in this trance almost.
Oh, let's talk about the boyfriend.
So, her boyfriend is just along playing Clay. They're having, I guess, she's on her lunch break, and she's at his work, and they're having lunch in his office. She apparently, he collects coins like a nerd.
Hold up.
Go ahead.
Before we talk about the nerd,
what did I miss? The
coin collection.
Mm-hmm.
He refers to her as cocky and sexy.
Does he?
Yeah.
I must have missed
that. I don't know why, but that, I've never laughed harder than Justin Long saying that to a woman.
I must have missed that because my girlfriend's obsessed with him. So when we were watching this, I had to like,
you
gotta
calm her down.
Yeah. So I must have missed that line. Yeah. So, yeah, he apparently collects coins, and she's got, like, this really crazy rare coin she goes to give him. That'll come back up later. Excuse me. She goes to leave, and his mom calls as she's leaving, and she overhears him talking to her. Trudy Dalton is a bitch.
Yeah.
Is my next note. That's his mom.
Holy shit.
He mentions to her mom, you know, I was just having lunch with Christine, and her mom's like, oh, who's that? And she's like, oh, it's the girl I've been dating for like the past year. And her mom starts going off about this other girl that she knows and how she's a doctor now, and you guys can be such a great couple. You shouldn't be fooling around with these girls that are wasting your time or something like that. The total, like, snobby kind of mom thing.
Oh, yeah.
Straight up, yeah, biatch. I should have mentioned before this scene, we're introduced to this idea that in the bank that... It's after this scene. Christine is at her bank. Yep, she's at her bank, and she's apparently there's an assistant manager position coming up, and she's vying for it, but she's competing with this new lender that just started at the bank named Stu.
This guy.
Her and Stu are vying for this position, and their boss, I think his name is Mr. Parks, is basically telling her, it could be the one of you, and he comes to her and he asks her, can you maybe pick me up some lunch? And, she wants this position. She's like, yeah, absolutely. And then Stu comes in, like, a total, like, king move. Like, is like, oh, yeah, can you also get me a sandwich? No mayo or something like that. And I just had to say, yeah, that's a total baller move. I mean, it's sexist. But
you're right.
If you want that position, that's how you do it.
But that dude has the most punchable face of all time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So... Christine goes, has this, she sits down and she has this woman approach, gypsy-ish, I guess that's not the right word, right? Gypsy woman sits down.
Yeah, gypsy.
I was trying to think of a less offensive word, but I guess gypsy is the right word. She sits down and...
Gypsies listen to this.
Yeah. She sits down...
And, well, I mean, they definitely don't now.
And it turns out that she has missed two of her mortgage payments, mm-hmm. and she's asked for extensions. The bank has already given her two extensions. She's basically asking Christine for another extension. She goes to her boss, says, you know, this is what the situation is, and the boss is like, you know, it's a tough call. It's your decision. And she, of course, she wants that assistant manager position, so she knows if she tells the woman she can definitely have another extension, it's going to make her look weak. So she goes to the woman and says, you know what, I'm sorry, but we can't offer you another loan. She even says another extension is out of the question.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, that's very authoritative move. So before she goes to the boss, I should say that the woman says, you know, bless you for trying. She says, bless you, child, or something like that. And when she comes back, she tells her that she's not getting the loan extension, and the woman begins to beg. We should mention her name. Her name is Miss Ganoush.
Sylvia Ganoush.
Sylvia Ganoush. So she starts begging and, like, making a whole scene. And Christine calls security over there because she's terrified. This woman won't let go of her dress. She's on her hands and knees. And the woman says that Christine has shamed her and that she's very offended. You know, she's like, I've never begged for anything in my life and you shamed me. And then she
goes 0 to 100 real fucking quick.
And she attacks her in the bank and has to have people, you know, security pull her off of her. And I think it's funny because she goes from bless you to basically I'm going to curse you all within one scene.
Just the whole time making the grossest noises of all time.
God, yes. Like taking her teeth out and like placing them on the table,
the desk. I will say she has like the most horrendous cough ever. But as a longtime chain smoker, I completely relate to that. Ugh. I understand that life.
Ugh. Yeah, that sound effect is gross.
Teeth thing.
And it's all like gross. Squishy sounds that she's coughing through. Yeah.
It's not good.
This is what I want to talk about. What do you think of Christine's decision to not give her the loan extension?
She was doing her job.
Thank you. Everybody I always talk to are like, oh, she deserved what she got at the end, blah, blah. No, she didn't.
No, she
did
was
her
just
job.
Doing her job. Like, I'm sorry.
As shitty as
she
the situation
had two
is,
extensions already.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know a lot about banking.
Mm-hmm. But they take their mortgages seriously. That's the whole reason banks make money. So I agree that's a shitty situation, but everyone's like, oh, well, she, you know, sacrificed her morals for her own career. No, she didn't. She did her job. That's what lenders do. And unfortunately, that's kind of how credit and mortgages work. So I think this whole movie is unwarranted for what happens to her. However, I will say I still really love the movie. So yeah, Mr. Jax even tells her, you know, you handled that just right, you know. So he's like confirming she did the right thing. I don't think she did anything wrong. So the rest of the movie is crazy. So it's at the end of the day, Christine's leaving and she heads outside and she notices that there's this yellow, I believe it's an Oldsmobile, which is the same yellow Oldsmobile that's been in all the Evil Dead movies. And I think it might even have been in one of the Spider-Man movies. It's Sam Raimi's actual car.
I think that's made an appearance in almost every Sam Raimi film,
just
hasn't
about,
it?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't.
So she notices this car, realizes no one's in it. And the only one of the only other cars in the parking lot is her car. So she gets in her car and she's noticing that this handkerchief is floating in the parking lot as she's sitting in her car waiting.
Horrible CGI handkerchief.
This I wrote in large bold print, scary handkerchiefs, because it like flies into the window,
then it just does full 360 around the car.
Yeah, it just kind of like peels off the car, rolls. Yeah. And Christine's kind of watching it and it goes around the side of the car and through the back. And then she realizes someone is in her back seat and it is Ms. Ganoush.
And there's like a solid like 3 seconds of just silence. Sylvia sitting there.
Yeah.
Before either one of them react.
Yeah. And she kind of like leans forward into the light and there's like no music or anything. It's really creepy. But yeah, she tells me, you know, you shamed me. And then she starts to attack her. So she she tries choking her and everything. And Christine has a stapler in her car and staples her face.
Right. Which yeah. is three times.
Straight up.
Twice
Evil
in
Dead.
The forehead. Once in her fucked up eye.
Yep. It's straight up Evil Dead style. And I noticed, I don't know if you noticed this, there's like funk music that plays in this scene. It's really weird. So Christine like, you know, drives her car into another car.
Yeah, and she reverses.
Throws the car in reverse and then starts driving away as Ms. Ganoush is choking her. And she puts her, Christine puts her seatbelt on in order, and just in time for her to slam into the back of this truck as Miss Gannage goes flying into the front seat of the car and her teeth pop out from banging her face on the side of the glove box. And she starts gumming the shit out of Christine's chin.
Full, like, Christine's, like, from her bottom lip to, like, her neck. That whole region is just in
Miss Gannage's mouth. And they're making sounds. They're just like... She's just gumming the shit out of her chin. So Christine grabs a ruler that she has and pushes it, like, stabs Miss Gannage in the throat, and she starts trying to cough to get it out. And I think it's funny because...
She, like, it's like a missile taking out of her mouth.
Yeah, like, shoots out of her mouth and, like, cracks a hole in her window.
Okay, and then... So they wrestle a little more, and then Christine, like, super kicks her out of the car. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is where we got to stop for a second. When did they both develop superpowers?
She's got the Miss Gannage. She's got the super cough.
She's like projectile, like shooting things out of her mouth,
like a nerve.
Christine
gun
like apparently never has skipped leg day because she sends her flying out of the side of the car. Mm-hmm.
Yep,
and they're just what the hell?
And then like she manages.
I know he had just like Sam Raimi had just done Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But damn, man.
So she manages, Christine manages to get her car door closed and locked before Miss Gannage can come back. And she screams like, you know, I beat you, you old bitch. And great line.
Great line.
Miss Gannage disappears. She drops down out of sight underneath the car. And Christine is looking around. And we see what Christine sees. She can't see anything. And all of a sudden, Miss Gannage stands up in slow motion and has a huge cinder block in her hands. And bashes her car door open. and drags,
again, superpowers
so
out of nowhere.
It's so great because it's like nothing's happening for like a solid 15, 20 seconds. All of a sudden, just the rise of like the fucking like the thing from Fantastic Four.
It's so epic.
And she drags Christine out of the car. She drags her onto the pavement of the parking garage. And she rips a button off of Christine's coat.
And yeah, after all that.
She just wanted a button.
She just wanted a button.
Yep. And so Miss Gannage starts like speaking some foreign tongue into the button. It's basically she's cursing it.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's basically saying that, you know, I begged you, you know, to help me. And now soon you'll beg me to help you, basically. Yeah. So that's kind of the end of this little whole. That's basically what sets up the rest of the movie. So.
Oh, yeah. We're what? 10 to 15 minutes into the movie at this point. We've already had one superhero fight.
Mm-hmm. So Christine has, she goes to like this, what would you call it? It's like a,
like her and Justin, what's the boyfriend's name?
Clay.
Her and Clay Justin.
Go to
like, they're just driving down the street and they like, or walking down the street, driving. I think they're doing something on a street.
Yeah. And they
pull
up to
see like a psychic reading.
Yeah, it's kind of like a psychic.
And she's just like, oh, I'm going to do this.
I'm just curious what's going on. So she goes in and there's like this, you know, the psychic is Indian. And there's like this quasi-racist Indian music kind of playing in there. It's got like the, what is the good, like the sitar kind of music playing? But anyways,
yeah.
She has to get her palms read, I think, right? Isn't her palm? She wants to get her palm read.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, he reads her palm and he sees the face of the demon. He's like, you know, I can't help you. You've got to go, basically. So that's kind of where that part. There's not really anything that happens there, I don't think.
Wait.
I think he just tells her, you know, someone's cursed you, basically. And Christine doesn't really think too much of it.
Yeah, you're right.
So the next day, Clay presents Christine with a little kitten as a gift. And let's check in with our ever-occurring segment, DoesTheDogDie.com. I checked it out for this movie. Now, while there is no dog in this movie, there is a cat, the kitten that he gets. That Christine gets, but we'll check in on that later. But I just wanted to let you know that this is relevant to what happens because I did happen to check. For some reason, my next note, I don't remember what it said relevance to, but I just wrote down Pork Queen. Oh, I didn't remember. Okay.
You lost me on that one, man. So
she has a book. And she's in her kitchen. And she has like this book that she's going through, and I don't remember why, but she closes the book and this photograph falls out. And I guess it's a picture of her when she was younger, and she's taking a picture with a pig. It's like a Polaroid of her with a pig, and the sign on the background just says Port Queen. Did you not remember this?
Fuck, you're right. Oh my god.
I don't know what it's in relevance to, but I just thought it was great. Again, so the Baphomet, the demon that she's dealing with, I can't remember what it's called, like Lumia or something like that. It starts like terrorizing her in her house. You know, it doesn't have like a physical manifestation yet. It's kind of like a shadow. So like it's like closing doors and making pots rattle, like your typical horror movie
right,
stuff.
Right. This is all we've seen this movie. We know how this.
But we
goes.
Don't really ever see bitch slaps, because here comes another bitch slap. This is Christine flying.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Ghost pimp hand
is strong as fuck. Not only that, but this is where we get the Sam Raimi like classic how to ride a horror scene.
Yep.
The snap zooms. We got the Dutch angles, check, the jump cuts,
check and check.
Just straight up Sam Raimi style. It's so great.
So it's broke, don't fix it.
Yep. So Clay decides he's gonna stay the night with Christine, or she stays the night with him. I can't remember. I got the question: who sleeps with their windows open above their bed? Like, I can maybe understand if you have your window cracked and you want air coming in, but they have these huge, like, double windows.
Fully open.
Straight up open. Not only that, they're in the city, so you know there's got to be traffic
and
shit
bugs,
coming in.
Man.
And bugs, 100% bugs. Speaking of bugs, as they're sleeping, a fly enters the room, starts flying around the room, and is, like, doing his little fly agenda. It lands on Christine and goes in her nose, comes out her nose, and the other nostril. And forces his way into her closed lips. And, you know, she wakes up coughing and choking on it.
Okay, I've had a fly up my nose, and I've had a fly into my mouth.
Really?
I've never had it go up one nostril and come out the other.
Did it force its way into your mouth?
No.
Yeah. This little fly is
okay, this
destined.
Is why I wear... People always question why I have a bandana around my neck half the time. It's because I ride a bike everywhere.
You gotta cover that shit up.
You gotta cover your mouth up. Because swallowing a fly is not awesome.
Nope.
But no, it's never forced its way into my mouth.
That's
I've never been
like
mouth
a whole
raped
fly hive. That's a movie, right? Flies in your stomach making not a beehive. But
I don't want to watch that movie.
That's a cool movie.
I've lived that movie.
So she wakes up terrified because of this bug in her mouth. You know, she's coughing or whatever. She goes to lay back down, and it's not Clay laying next to her anymore. It's Miss Ganesh again, and she attacks her and
looking. Creepy.
Crazy creepy.
Fuck.
Mm-hmm. So, Miss Ganesh decides she's going to vomit all over Christine, but not normal vomit, just straight up worms and bugs, like the grossest shit you could imagine. And turns out this is a nightmare sequence. She wakes up totally fine, sleeping next to her boyfriend, which is just, again, Sam Raimi style. He likes to fuck with his crowd.
Always.
I wrote the word blood bank here because this is one of my favorite scenes in the movie. And if you know this movie, you know what I'm talking about. So she goes back to work the next day and she's obviously like freaked out. I think this might be also the scene where, you know, before Stu asked her to bring her lunch once and he said no mayo. And this time he says something like, I asked for no pickle. And she said, no, you didn't. And he goes, yeah, I kind of did. And he's just being a bigger dick than normal. But she goes out to her desk and she's sitting there and Stu comes up and he's like, hey, can you show me, you know, this and this, because he's the new guy. And she's reluctant to, because she wants this assistant manager position. So she's like, you know, fine, I guess I will, whatever, because he threatens to tell her boss that she doesn't want to teach him. As he's sitting there, she notices someone tapping on her desk like Miss Ganesh did when she first came in, and she looks down and it's the same knuckles, the same fingernails and everything, and it's Stu doing it, but she's just imagining it. Yeah. So she decides she just has a breakdown. She tells her to get the fuck off his desk. He freaks out and leaves. And her boss comes over and is like, what the hell's going on? And she starts dripping blood from her nose, right? Like a total nose, straight up nosebleed.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it just goes full on bananas because she starts
like
projectile.
Fire hose
like she's a dragon, but with blood. And she's just spraying blood all over herself and her boss.
I feel like Sam Raimi was watching The Shining and saw that hallway
the
scene.
Elevator.
He's like,
let's put that in the mouth.
How can I do something like that?
Let's put that in someone's mouth. So it's okay. The dude is, her boss is covered in blood and he looks at somebody. He's like, did I get any in my mouth? This dude is so great.
My favorite part is that in the middle of her like spewing blood, he yells, stop it.
Stop it.
Like,
it's not like she can help it.
Like,
she's like covering her mouth and it's still coming between the fingertips. Just yeah. Blood is spewing.
It's like, dude, it's like, it's not her fault. Don't get mad at her.
You can just move.
Yeah, step out of the lot.
But it's so great. He says it
the
like
Prometheus such an, conundrum.
He says it like it's such an inconvenience. Stop it. Like if someone's trying to tickle him and he doesn't like
it. It's like, you stop. No, she is spewing blood.
Like hard. Like that, fire hydrant.
Don't tell her to stop. Call the fucking 911.
He says it, again, like it's an inconvenience. So Christine leaves for work for the day and I guess decides she's going to go find Miss Gannish's house. So she goes to this house, I guess, where she looked her up from. And this is actually where we see the Oldsmobile again. I think it's an Oldsmobile. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a Delta. It's a 88 Delta. So she goes to the house and this girl answers this door, this woman that's probably about the same age as her. And, you know, she's like, oh, she's, you know, not here or whatever. And Christine's like, you know, I just really want to talk to her or whatever. And the girl makes a comment that just says, you used to be a real fat girl, didn't you? And I guess that's relevant to the pork queen photo.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what that has to do with anything in this movie. Like, what does that have to do with anything?
Gypsies can read people, I guess.
What is her being fat when she was younger?
But that's my favorite line in this movie.
That is a pretty good movie. I do like that. So the girl lets her into the house, and apparently this is a wake. And it's not a normal wake because it's
nah,
gypsy
it is
wake.
Fucking lit.
It's a straight up party. and Christine actually, like, accidentally
like, when
bumps,
I die,
yeah.
Can just throw a party.
Straight up. She accidentally bumps
take the cast to the club. Let's
she
do
accidentally
this.
Bumps into the casket and drops Miss Gannish's body all over the floor because apparently Miss Gannish has died between now and when she cursed her. And so like the body falls on top of Christine.
She was old, and then they got in that superhero fight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yep,
understandable.
The body falls on Christine, and I guess all this embalming fluid falls out, and she starts gumming her like. The body
like
starts
the body,
gumming Christine.
Somehow, the body, the mouth falls open, the body falls on top of Christine, and of course, her chin, like, the mouth lands directly on her chin.
And just one last gumming, man.
One
even
last gumming. There's embalming fluid coming out.
It's disgusting, dude. Straight up disgusting.
Oh. Also, I'm not entirely sure that's how embalming fluid.
I don't think
how it works, man.
I think you just.
I got a friend.
I don't think you just pour it down the mouth.
I got a mortician friend. I'll ask her.
So anyways, the girl that let Christine in the house is just like, you deserve everything that's good that you got coming to you because you disgraced our family. So Christine goes home, and again, the demon...
I'm sorry. No one deserves to be gummed by a dead body.
Not at all. So Christine goes home, and then the demon starts fucking with her. It chases her upstairs, basically. She locks herself in her bedroom. And I think this is so cool because we get this idea that the demon basically has a body of a goat because this is one of my favorite shots in the movie. She's standing in front of her bedroom looking at her door and we hear like the clod hopping something approaching the door. And underneath we see the shadow of like goat hooves like stopping in front of the door. And Christine goes to reach her phone. And I think this is, it's not intentionally supposed to be funny. Like it's supposed to be scary, but this is, probably the part where I laugh, probably the hardest in the movie. She pulls out her cell phone in an attempt to try and call her boyfriend. And as she's doing it, you watch the battery in real time drain immediately and then just turn off.
She must have an Android.
I just think it's so great. Like, she opens her phone, just like, boop, 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 goodbye. And she had a full battery. I don't know. I just think it's hilarious for some reason.
I've been there.
So...
I know that life.
The demon's like hand shadow underneath the door starts getting larger and larger and is reaching for Christine. And basically he enters the room and he like flips her upside down, holds her in the air, and just throws her against her armoire. And I gotta say, how is her back not broken at this? Because he throws her across the room into an armoire that shatters and she gets up like it's no
problem.
Dude,
I'm telling you.
Superheroes?
Superpowers.
Man, this is maybe a prequel to one of the Spider-Man movies.
Oh.
So this this psychic, this is where we check back in with the Does the Dog Die website. The psychic pretty much gave her this book that kind of suggested if you want to get rid of this curse, you can try sacrificing animals to the demon.
Well, he doesn't give her, doesn't he just straight up tell her that?
No, he gives her a little book. It says something like animal sacrifices.
I think he just straight up told her that.
I think he does both. Like he says, you know, you could do this, and then he gives her this little book. Because I remember seeing the cover of the book. It says, right. Like, animal sacrifice or something. Basically, she kills this kitten, And I gotta say, this kitten must be filled, like, with no bones or anything, just straight up, it's a blood sack. Because
we're
at a low angle. We're basically the kitten's POV. And Christine comes in with a knife, and all we see is her, like, stabbing something off camera, and blood is just gushing up. You're like, you remember when she's in the bank and she does that? It's basically like that from the bottom of the camera. We're just seeing blood spew. It's like a Tarantino movie when someone gets shot. It's just nothing but blood. And she decides, she buries the cat in the backyard so her boyfriend doesn't find it. So apparently they're going to, her and her boyfriend are going to this dinner where he's finally going to meet her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she makes a cake. And this cake is like a raisin frosted cake thing.
Not for me.
Nah, it didn't look all that great. Her mom's being the total diva. She's got the jewelry all around her. She's got the hair up in like the weird bun thing.
After that phone call earlier, like the moment she walks on screen, you're like, yeah, you're the mom. I get it. Of course you are. I get it now.
And the dad kind of looks like Billy Bob Thornton, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah.
But they're having this dinner, and this mom is just quizzing her and just the whole time trying to be an asshole to her. And, you know, she's like, Christine makes a comment, like, I don't talk to my mom much. And Clay's mom is like, well, why not? And she goes, well, I don't see her that much because she is an alcoholic or something like that. And that's when his mom starts to turn to liking her. It's like they're bonding over alcoholism. Do you not notice that? He's like, well,
I wouldn't say I like them.
It's like she feels, I'm saying, like, after Christine mentions that her mom's an alcoholic, that the mom kind of like retracts a little bit, like, oh, I shouldn't be so hard on her. And she's like, well, you know why? Okay, alcoholism is a hard thing, blah, blah, blah. And they start like bonding over it, which I think is a weird thing. But Christine starts losing her shit here because she, like, the cake has an eyeball in it and she's like freaking out. And she hears like this loud pitch noise. She throws her cup against the wall and starts screaming at nothing, basically revealing that she is a crazy person at this point.
So, she's not crazy. She's cursed.
She is cursed. Everyone else around
can't see her. Everyone else thinks she's fucking nuts.
Yeah. So she gets a phone call and turns out that she is losing the loan deal that apparently she had been setting up with this other bank.
Yeah.
And this bank is now backed out. I don't remember. I think it's like First National or something like that. But turns out this is because Stu stole some items off her desk, which we'll get to later on in the movie. So Christine is like deciding she's gonna sell all her shit
because he takes that during the whole blood gushing thing.
Yeah,
right?
He takes it at the end of the blood gushing scene. Christine decides she's gonna sell all her shit to get money to pay for, I guess, the medium to deal with this stuff. So she goes to her little like shed, I guess, outside, and then she starts having another freak out. She sees Miss Gannon, who's attacking her, and I think this is great. Because there's so much that happens in this scene that is worth talking about. So Christine is pushed up against like this wooden pillar in the middle of the shed. And she notices there is a literal anvil rigged in her shed. Like it's a straight up Acme cartoon anvil that she manages to basically pull down the Don't Wake Daddy contraption to like land on Miss Gannage. And when it does, her eyes pop out of her head into Christine's mouth. Oh, I'm sorry. Before this happens, though, Miss Gannish literally shoves her entire fist into Christine's mouth.
Yes.
She is fisting her mouth.
There are a lot... God damn it. There are a lot of things going... There's just a lot of mouth play in this movie.
A lot. There's throw up and blood and, yeah.
Mouth fisting. So,
and this is the worst CG I think I've ever seen. When her eyes pop out of her head.
Worse than the handkerchief, you think?
Yeah, I think the eyes are worse than the handkerchief. It's like
that handkerchief is rough.
It looks like it was intended to be a 3D shot, which I don't remember if this movie ever came out in 3D, but I don't think it did. Because these eyeballs look terrible. But basically, it turns out it's another hallucination. So Christine sells all her shit, and the next scene we get is her in her kitchen with her money laid out on the table, eating a big-ass thing of ice cream, because that's women's two favorite things.
Ah, damn it.
Ice cream and money.
And so, we lost all our female listeners.
Well, that's a good stereotype to have, if anything. Ice cream and money, what's not to love about those two things? I'm not wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
So her boyfriend shows up and she's like, okay, look, some shit is going down with you. I believe you that you're experiencing all this shit. Let's go. We'll find this medium. So they go to basically the same house that we saw in the very beginning of the movie, the Hispanic woman who, you know, was trying to help the family before they go right. to him, and she, you know, pays her all this money. Please help with all this that's going on. And the Indian guy comes to the psychic.
Mm-hmm.
But Justin Long drops her off. He doesn't stay there with her, which I thought was weird. So basically, their idea is they're going to lure out this demon, and somehow with physical touch, someone that's possessed by this demon, if they touch something, another physical animate sentient object, that spirit will transfer to it.
Yeah.
So they're like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have this seance.
So convenient.
We're going to have this seance, bring out the demon. We're going to have this demon touch a goat, which this goat is the greatest fucking thing of all time. We're going to have this demon touch the goat, Lord. And then we're going to decapitate the goat. Because killing an animal is apparently a lot, you know, it's an animal sacrifice. So that kind of helps out. And, you know, it's not a human. Which I have to say, the whole reason she killed the cat, because she thought it was going to get rid of him. And then she, when it doesn't, she goes back to this Indian guy. And she's like, you told me killing an animal, I had to kill that poor kitty. He's like, you're dealing with fucking demons. Not, this shit is not set in stone.
Right.
Which I was glad someone finally did it. Because in movies, that would have been the end of it as soon as she killed that cat.
Yeah. You know?
So, all right.
In movies, like, this is no fucking movie.
Her medium has an assistant too, with this gnarly mustache that we're gonna get to. But so they basically have this seance, and the demon does in fact possess one of them, and he possesses the actual medium. Yep. And this shit is terrifying because she's basically
like, shit is going off in this scene.
Mm-hmm, there's like ghosts that appear and shit's like flying up and rattling and shit. But after the demon actually possesses the woman, the Indian psychic is like, you know, surely this woman's soul is not of that much importance to you. What do you really want, basically? What can we give you to leave her alone? And this woman has the craziest fucking voice, because it's so cool. She's possessed by the demon, and she's like, we want the soul of Christine Brown. And just the way he says it is so fucking stellar. But anyways, she goes to reach the possessed woman goes to reach for Christine. Christine knocks the woman's hand onto the goat.
Yep.
And she starts screaming in pain. And then this goat starts talking, because now the goat is possessed by the
this
demon.
This is the best part of the movie.
Terrible CG, but this goat is fucking awesome. So yeah. The assistant guy goes to decapitate the goat with a machete. The goat, it's so smart. It backs away to where the machete cuts his chain open. So now the goat's not chained to the table anymore. Bites the hand of the guy. Yeah, bites the hand of the guy trying to cut his head off. And now the demon has possessed this guy. And this is great, because this is where we get the sickest demon dance moves I've ever seen. This demon possesses this dude. He floats up in the air. He's doing the straight up Evil Dead thing, like the cackling, the dancing in midair, kind of happy, jolly dances. And the music is like straight up operatic music. It's really fucking funny.
I dance exactly like this guy.
Just like with hands twirling.
I'm all hands. I'm all hands. I don't use my legs too much. All
right, but they managed to banish away the demon. And when they get outside, because I believe the house burns down, if I'm not mistaken. When they get outside,
yeah,
the Indian guy is like, you know, I don't know what you think you happened tonight, but we didn't get rid of the demon. We only just pushed him away for a while. And he's like, he manages to get the button. He has the button that Miss Gannett's cursed. And he's like, look, you need to take this button and give it to someone as a gift. Because when you give it to someone as a gift, then they will have the curse and you will no longer have it. Which I think is great, because the way he gives her this button is this... Again, I don't know if this is intentionally supposed to be funny or if it's just Sam Raimi's style, but he puts it in this envelope, and then the way he licks the envelope closed, he does it very sensual, like licking up with his eyes closed, mm-hmm. and then he just immediately like tilts his head at a cop. Do you remember this?
That's how I lick envelopes, man.
That's so great. But he gives this envelope, and she's like, okay, I gotta do something with it. So she's driving down the road and she's like, I'm gonna go to this diner. I'm just gonna sit here and find someone to give it to. And so she's...
Which is so fucked up.
This part that I will say is kind of fucked up.
She's like, all right.
Here's what I love.
Who am I gonna fucking kill?
So she's sitting in this diner and she's just like looking around at all the different people. And on the way... Like, as she's there, she's looking around. She sees this old man with an oxygen tank sitting by himself in the corner. And she starts getting up and slowly starts approaching this old man. And as soon as she gets there, presumably his wife, this older woman, yeah, in her train with like a piece of pie, and he starts smiling. I think Sam Raimi missed an opportunity here to go full-on Raimi style. I think what should have happened is she's approaching this old man that's sitting by himself and looking sad and lonely, and all of a sudden, like, four Playboy models kind of surround him, and it turns out he's got, like, all this money, and he's a straight-up Mac Daddy, but, yeah. So she's like, okay, I know
I think that might have been too Raimi.
Maybe. That's probably why he's a
We've already had mouth bot. Fisting.
Yeah, yeah. So she's like, it's I know what I'm going to
really
do.
It's really one or the other.
She's like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to call Stu, because Stu has fucked me over a lot. So she calls Stu, and she's like, look, if you don't get here in 5 minutes or whatever, 10 minutes, then I'm going to tell him that you sold the deal to First National and you fucked up the deal and blah, blah, blah. So Stu gets there, and he's like a fucking quivering, bumbling idiot. And she's like, I'm going to give you this gift. You have to take this gift. He's like, what are you talking about? This is all you want? Like, freaking out, thinking it's a trick on him. But she decides last minute that she's not going to do it.
Bullshit.
She's like, you know what? Whatever. You don't deserve it. So now she's got this button. She's got to get rid of this thing ASAP, and she doesn't know what she's going to do. So she's like, you know what? I'm going to go and give it back to Miss Ganners. So before she does that, because Miss Ganners has been buried, before she does that, her boyfriend or her are driving down the road, and she's got this button in this envelope, and she's like freaking out, like, I gotta get this back to her. And they like almost stop because she thinks she sees him in the middle of the road, and her boyfriend slams on brakes. Turns out this is old man crossing the road, and he's just like, you will burn in hell.
Yep.
Like, if there's not enough foreshadowing in this movie by the title alone. So they start driving off, and then, like, because I slammed on brakes, she lost her envelope on the floor and, like, this big pile of papers. So she finally finds it, thinking, oh, God, you know, if I would have lost this, this would have been terrible.
Yeah.
So she gets the envelope. She's like, all right, thank God, we're good. Okay, so she goes, and as she's driving down the road, she does this thing where she's got, like, this big, it's, like, this tough music, and she's, like, got this mean look. She's like, I'm going to go get some, which is funny because it's, like, a play on Evil Dead of Bruce Campbell's catchphrase of get some. But as soon as she says that, a handkerchief flies onto the window again. Miss Ganish's handkerchief.
Which Why the fuck not, right?
I think it's so great because it happens every time in this movie. Every time something badass, she thinks she's doing something badass or saying something badass, it immediately turns on her. Like,
yep.
As soon as when in the beginning, yeah,
that's
she's
life,
like,
man.
When, as soon as the beginning, when she's like, I beat you, you old bitch. Then the woman, like, smashes her window open.
With a cinder block.
So she goes, I'm going to get some. And all of a sudden, this handkerchief flies on the window, and then it seeps to the air conditioner vents and slides on her face. She has to, like, peel it off. And again, like, another incidence of badass things that instantly turn to her looking like an idiot. She tears it off her face and she goes to throw it on the ground like she's done conquered it, and it immediately just flies back up into her face.
I love that moment.
So she is at the cemetery. She's, you know, it's pouring down rain. She's digging. She digs this grave really fast, I should say. This should not take.
Yeah,
this
if the
is
whole
a huge
banking
hole.
Thing doesn't work out, she's got a
great job. Grave
great
robbing.
Job, and yeah.
Because this is a big hole. So basically, she finds Miss Ganish's casket. She goes to tear it open. She's, you know, she's got the envelope. She's like, I am giving this back to you, hoping that will end the curse that she's gifted this button now to someone new. So she shoves it in her mouth, and she tells her to choke on it. And she says, choke on it, bitch. And I think it's great because, again, she tries to do something hard-ass, and she tries to escape, and she, like, trips, and her hair gets caught in Miss Ganish's hand. And I gotta say, is this maybe the third time she gets her hair ripped out?
Christine should have been bald by the end
of this
movie.
She gets her hair ripped out a lot.
Like, every 10 minutes, her hair gets ripped out. I swear to God.
And this whole scene takes a long time to get through because she's trying to get out of the hole, and it's pouring down rain, and the rain is filling up the hole, and every time she tries to get out, she either falls, or Miss Ganish's body pulls on her, or the giant iron cross above the grave hits her in the head, and it's just she has a horrible, like, every time she tries to do something badass, 20 things bad happen to her. But anyways, so she gives the button back to Miss Ganish, and all is well in the world. The next morning, she's showering, she's getting ready for the day, she's going on this trip with her boyfriend, and she gets a voicemail from her boss saying, you know, I gave Stu the assistant manager position, but then turns out he gave away our deal to this other bank. He came in, he tried blaming the whole thing on you, But then inconsistencies in his story, well, you know, he basically says they fired Stu and she's got the assistant manager position. So she's riding on cloud nine. She, you know,
yeah,
she's got everything's the job going well. On it. Yep, she's going on this trip. So she's going, she's in this train station. She's about to meet her boyfriend. And she, this is so funny to me. This is another one of those unironically, I guess, funny moments to me. But she's going to this train station and she spots this coat in the window of like a shop that's in there. And there's a woman in there like dressing the mannequin. And Christine like knocks on the window. She's like, I want this dress. And the woman like points in her hand like, we're not open yet. And Christine starts trying to explain to this woman through the glass. She's like, no, you don't understand. I'm going on this trip and my boyfriend is going to be really great. And I just want to buy this coat. And the woman on the other side of the glass is like, I don't know what the fuck to tell you, lady. We're not open. But just the way it's filled, like Christine is so hopeful that she's going to get this coat. And it's just hilarious to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I laugh every fucking time I see this thing.
I mean, it's funny, but
I think it's hilarious. Wasn't that
funny?
And just this, along with the battery draining scene, I think are fucking hysterical to me. So she buys this. She ends up getting this coat, right? And like I say, this is a cute outfit to go to hell in, right?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Because, spoiler alert, if you didn't know by the name of the movie, somebody's about to go to hell.
Yeah.
So,
About to get dragged to hell. Credits.
Yep. So she meets her boyfriend on the train tracks, you know, and they're like, he's like, oh, you got, I like your coat, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, do you like it? You know, I'm ready to start brand new, basically. And he mentions something like, oh, she goes, what happened to your old coat? She goes, oh, I threw it out. I never want to see it again. He goes, oh, well, that's weird. He goes, and he pulls something out of his pocket and it's an envelope. And he goes, because, you know, I found this button that goes to your coat. So it turns out that when Justin Long Clay slammed on the brakes in the car from hitting the old man, the envelope she dropped was the button envelope, but then the envelope she picked back up was the envelope with the super rare coin for his coin collection that she gave him at the beginning of the movie. So she picked up the wrong thing. That's what she ended up giving to Ms. Ganoush, not the button. So the curse is still live and rapidly approaching because she's terrified. She's screaming no and backing away slowly, and she falls off the platform into the train tracks. And I gotta say, this is a double whammy ending, right? Because you think one thing is going to happen.
Oh, it's that 1-2 punch.
This train is barreling down and Justin Long's screaming for someone to help and screaming, oh my God, because he thinks his girlfriend is about to get hit by a train. And because it's a deep drop. It's like 6 to 7 feet of a drop down there. It's not easy to get back up. But
No.
So she's freaking out. She's laying.
I've fallen on the train tracks before. It is a bitch.
She's laying there on the train tracks freaking out. Thinks she's about to get ran over by a train. And as the train is getting close... This is where shit goes crazy. Because this ending is fucking terrifying. The first time I saw this movie, dude, I wanted to cry. Because I was terrified of this scene. And I think I might have saw this movie right when it came out.
Oh, anyways, yeah, I saw this in theaters.
The train is barreling down on her. I watched this at home by myself, I should say. The first
Fuck.
Time. Yeah.
No, wait. Sorry, I'm getting this confused with another movie. I saw... Remember Quarantine? I saw that in theaters. I saw this...
I saw Quarantine
at my house.
Yeah, so I watched this alone in my house too at night. And so the
train, I'm pretty sure I bought it. I was like, Sam Raimi, Justin Long, I'm in.
So this train is barreling down on her, and as it's getting near close to running her over, the ground breaks away, and it's just like the opening scene where
it's literally the poster.
Yeah, it's hands grabbing her from underground. You see the fires of hell, demon faces, and everything, and they start dragging her down, burning her skin off, and Justin Long is freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
And what's even more fucked up is as they're pulling her under, the train is going over him. So even if he wanted to help her, he couldn't. Because not only is, you know, she being dragged into hell, the train, he's able to see under the train wheels as it goes by that she is being pulled further and further into hell as she's screaming to help, screaming for help. And the last shot of her is her eyes literally boiling out of her sockets as the ground rubble closes back up. And the last shot of the film is Justin Long crying with wide eyes, like, what the fuck just happened? Holding the button that was going to her coat.
This is the most rock and roll ending of all fucking time.
And then we just get, bam, drag me to hell.
Yup.
Credits. That's it. That's the end of the fucking movie.
Like, say what you will about the rest of the movie. It's that ridiculous, ending, that ending is amazing.
The ending warrants the entirety of the movie. The entirety of the movie is still really kick-ass.
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun. But that ending is like, there's scary parts of this movie where you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's a little
But for the most part, you're like, this is a good
It's
time.
It's more comedy horror than it is horror, but that ending is straight up horror.
Yeah, like, oh my god.
So
love that ending.
Let's talk about some trivia before we try and find the silver lining here, right?
Okay.
So I mentioned already, but yeah, the yellow Delta 88 that Miss Gannis drives is the same car that's used in all the Evil Dead films. That's kind of his director's trademark.
This next one's awesome.
The license plate of the car that Sylvia Gannis drives is 99951, which when turned upside down reads is 666. Which is, that's such a fucking Sam Raimi thing to do, to be so on the nose with it. When Clay Dalton, that's Justin Long's character, mentions that he's traveling to his parents' cabin, like he tells her, we're going to go on this trip to the cabins, and there's, you know, all these trees and it's private. He's basically referencing the cabin from Evil Dead.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Originally, Ellen Page was cast as Christine, but had to drop out to star in the movie Whip It.
I like Ellen Page. I don't see her in this role.
I don't either. I like her. I like this. Allison Lohman?
Because
again, she has this odd look to her that is just like, it fits with Sam Raimi's style. Like, she seems very ditzy and like, not really act. Like, she looks like she's trying to act, but I think that's exactly what the character's supposed to be. Right. Like, this innocent kind of ditzy girl. Raimi said that this was intended to be a remake of the movie Curse of the Demon, but he couldn't secure the rights to the film, so instead they kept a lot of the same elements and rewrote the story, basically.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
This is going to apparently be a reoccurring segment, because we have, again, some weird trivia in the IMDb trivia section of this movie.
Do we do a lot of weird trivia?
Terminator 3? That was the weirdest fucking trivia we've ever read. This is apparently going to be a reoccurring thing.
You're right.
So this is a weird trivia, and I swear to God, you can go on IMDb right now to Drag Me to Hell's page, and this is one of the last things on there, but apparently this is a trivia note saying Hitler exterminated thousands of gypsies, and no Lamias or other demons dragged him down to hell.
That we know of.
That could have been what happened to him in the bunker. Why is that a trivia fact?
I don't know, dude. Weird. God bless the internet.
I kind of want to do a whole podcast just on weird trivia, like finding weird trivia on IMDb and analyzing them. Or like putting them into like practicality, like seeing if these things are real. We need to research this stuff and find out. Okay, so I don't really have anything else on the movie. I think it's a kick-ass horror movie.
This movie is so much fun.
It's definitely a fun horror movie.
It was a great way to start out horror movie season. Mm-hmm, I'm very happy with it. As far as your silver lining, what do you got, sir?
We have kind of a staple here where
that we are really bad at the goal we set out to
our
do.
Our goal of the podcast is like, we come close to nearly always missing it. We're always stretching and reaching here. I have a little bit of a reach, and maybe I'll think of another one before the end, but as of right now, this is what I got. You know, Trudy Dalton kind of got what she wanted. She didn't want Justin Long to be dating Christine anymore, so at least one person got a little bit of a silver lining here, right?
You're not wrong.
I mean, at least Christine knew she was going to hell, so she got to at least know in advance. I mean, that's like a double silver lining. She didn't really take full advantage of it, but...
Yeah.
You know. Oh, silver lining. Got it. All right, well, actually, tell me yours first, because I don't want to impede on it.
But I mean...
What do you got?
Sylvia got her revenge.
Okay. That's not what I had, but that's an okay one. I was going to say that asshole Stu got what was coming to him. He got fired.
Oh, shit.
That's probably the real silver lining
that
here, right?
That is. Fuck Stu.
Yeah,
fuck God, Stu. I want to punch that guy.
So that's our silver lining for a person that literally gets drugged to hell.
There's only so much you can do with that. There is only so much you can do with that.
Well, what about this, Mally? If people are upset by watching a person literally be drugged to hell at the end of a movie, what's another movie they could watch along this style or this vein, a movie that could bring them back up? What's a good pick-me-up movie?
You say yours first.
Oh, you want me to say
mine?
Because
it makes more sense.
Okay. Well, if you love Sam Raimi and you love this style of directing, there is no better pick-me-up movie than Spider-Man 2 from him.
Dude, Spider-Man 2 holds up.
Same director. It's even got like the surgery scene with Doc Ock. Yeah. Even has that Evil Dead feel. So you still get some like nostalgia in there. And plus it has that same style that he has. And it fits. So it's amazing how weird his style fits in so perfectly with comic book movies and horror movies. It's very, they're so relatable and like qualitative that it's insane. So that's a great movie to watch after Drag Me to Hell. What do you got? Oh boy, is this a stretch too?
I'm not gonna lie, it's completely unrelated in any way, shape, or form to this movie.
That's not.
But I watched it directly after watching Drag Me to Hell, and mm-hmm. it really helped. What's that? Ocean's 11.
Okay, I like Ocean's 11.
Wait. It's a stretch, but Ocean's 11, or you could watch Ocean's 13, because the Christine's boss plays the hotel inspector in Ocean's 13. Watch Ocean's 13, guys. Right.
Yeah, there you go. What is that guy's name?
Boom, nailed it.
Yeah, that guy's great. That guy is, yeah, he's definitely the hotel inspector of that movie. That's a great one. So Spider-Man 2 and Ocean's 13, that can't get any better than that, right? Those are great movies. Okay.
So, man, that was, whew.
So that is...
I am exhausted, guys.
That is 2009's Drag Me to Hell, directed by Sam Raimi. Thank you for listening, everyone. Please...
Well, wait.
What's up?
We got to give him a taste of next week.
Oh,
we got
to give him a hint. Okay, all right. What do you have a hint for next week?
Thank God for Jehovah's Witnesses.
For once, right?
Right. Oh.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Please subscribe to us on iTunes since you're already there. And you could also leave us maybe a rating in Facebook, perhaps.
Wouldn't be opposed to it, just throwing that out there.
Most def. Go like us on Facebook. You can find us at facebook.com/silverliningsplaylist. If you have a suggestion for a movie that's got a fucked up or downer or sad ending, please let us know.
Yeah, because I don't think we don't really have much planned once horror movie season's over. Mm-hmm.
After our five
open schedule here.
5 days of Halloween. Maybe we can five days, not in consecutive order, but 5 Mondays of Halloween? Wait a minute. I'm thinking of a pun. 5 Boo Days? No. 5.
So thanks for listening, guys. It was been a great episode.
You have anything else you want to say before we go?
As always,
Excelsior.